אתם עם SBS בעברית.
שלום אוסטרליה. Tisha B'Av, a 25-hour fast commemorating the destruction of both the First and Second Temples and other tragic events in Jewish history, was held last Saturday night and Sunday and was marked by tensions and clashes that verged on violence. At the Saturday night reading of Lamentations, held in an area separate from the main Western Wall Plaza that has been set aside for pluralistic prayer, worshippers were disturbed when ultra-Orthodox activists, mostly teenagers, entered the site, cursing and screaming at the worshippers and trying to segregate the area by gender. Conservative leaders pled with the youths to respect the sanctity of the site and the day, but to no avail. The President, Foreign Minister and other officials condemned the disruption. Foreign Minister Yair Lapid tweeted on Sunday, "We won't let them destroy the Kotel, destroy Israeli society or destroy our relations with the Jewish world. The Kotel belongs to every stream of Judaism and it will be a place where every Jew feels at home." Labour Party MK Gilad Kariv, the first reform rabbi to serve in the Knesset, who was at the scene, condemned the youths, tweeting, "For them I weep." This is what senseless hatred looks like under the guise of God's love. More than 1,600 Jews ascended to the Temple Mount during Tisha B'Av last Sunday. Earlier in the day, dozens of Muslim worshippers barricaded themselves on the mount and clashed with police ahead of the arrival of Jewish visitors. Some of them briefly chanted, "With spirit, with blood, we'll redeem Al-Aqsa." While Jews can visit the site, the long-maintained status quo has been that any non-Muslims are forbidden from praying there. Hints or rumours of changes to that status have been stridently opposed by the Muslim world and have sparked deadly protests and angry denunciation from Arab governments. Prime Minister Naftali Bennett issued a statement on Sunday that appeared to be at odds with the status quo. Bennett thanked the public security minister and the Israeli police chief for maintaining the events on the Temple Mount with responsibility and consideration while maintaining freedom of worship for Jews on the Mount. Bennett emphasised that freedom of worship on the Temple Mount will be fully preserved for Muslims as well, who later this week celebrated Eid al-Adha. A spokesman for the public security minister, Omer Bar-Lev, said later on Sunday that there was no change in policy. He said if Jews were praying on the Temple Mount, that's certainly against the law, and added, "I think the wording was off in the Prime Minister's statement and that the Prime Minister's office had meant to highlight the freedom of access for Jews to the Temple Mount, despite all the complexities at the site on Sunday." New restrictions on public life came into effect on midnight Tuesday, limiting access to large indoor events and instating a raft of new fines for those violating health rules, as Israel strives to contain a recent rise in coronavirus infections. Under the new orders, the so-called Green Pass system, first used earlier this year, will be reinstated for indoor events attended by more than 100 people. All businesses, including stores, are prohibited from granting entry to anyone not wearing a face mask. Violators will be fined 1,000 shekel. There's already a 500 shekel fine in place for those who enter public indoor spaces not wearing a face mask. On Thursday, Prime Minister Naftali Bennett issued a fresh appeal for all Israelis to get the coronavirus vaccine, accusing those eligible who have not done so of endangering the rest of the country. In his remarks, Bennett announced that the coronavirus cabinet's decision to start requiring the unvaccinated to pay out of pocket for COVID tests, saying there's no reason that taxpayers and those who fulfill their civic duty to get vaccinated will fund tests for those who refuse to get vaccinated. According to new health ministry figures released on Friday, 1,281 new cases were confirmed on Thursday, with a further 767 since midnight, bringing active infections to 10,166. The number of patients in serious condition rose to 81, the highest tally since May the 4th. The death toll remained at 6,457. On Monday, US-based Ben & Jerry's ice cream company announced that it would no longer distribute its products in the occupied Palestinian territory, referring to West Bank settlements in East Jerusalem. It said the decision would take effect at the end of 2022 when its contract with the current Israeli manufacturer and distributor expires. The news prompted immediate outcry, with some politicians posting on TikTok videos of themselves throwing out the popular ice cream. They were later forced to backtrack when it was revealed that the product eaten here is totally Israeli-owned and manufactured and will be so until 2023. Foreign Minister Yair Lapid said he would ask dozens of US states to activate their anti-BDS laws to punish the ice cream company. Officials in Florida, Texas, New York, New Jersey, and Illinois are reviewing whether the move will require divestment from Ben & Jerry's parent company, Unilever, under their various state laws. Meanwhile, the KA in Sydney announced on Wednesday that it was removing Ben & Jerry's ice cream from its list of approved products. The head of the Knesset's Foreign Affairs and Defence Committee said on Thursday that Israel has established a committee to review allegations that NSO Group's controversial Pegasus phone surveillance software was misused. Pegasus has been implicated in possible mass surveillance of journalists, human rights defenders and 14 heads of state. NSO denied all allegations and said that an orchestrated campaign is being carried out against us. More than 140 Palestinians were hurt on Friday in clashes with Israeli troops in the village of Beta, including 9 people injured by live fire. The Israeli army said 2 soldiers were also lightly injured in the violence. Hundreds of Palestinians gathered in Beta to protest against the nearby outpost of Eviatar, set up by settlers in early May in defiance of both international and Israeli law. Following a peace deal struck with Prime Minister Naftali Bennett's government, the settlers left the outpost on July 2nd, while the structures they built remain under army guard. The London-based International Oil Pollution Compensation Fund on Thursday unanimously approved Israel's request to receive damages for the massive tar pollution that covered its beaches in February following an oil leak by a Syrian-owned ship, the Emerald, in the Mediterranean Sea. Environmental Protection Minister Tamar Zandberg said the significant damage wreaked on the environment and marine life underscored the ministry's position that the world should move as quickly as possible to replace fossil fuels such as oil with renewable energy sources. 49 years after the 1972 massacre of Israeli athletes at the Munich Olympics, Friday's opening ceremony for the Tokyo 2020 Olympics included for the first time an official commemoration of those who died in the terror attack. Widows Anki Spitzer and Ilana Romano were at Friday's ceremony. Families of the Munich victims have campaigned for years for greater public recognition for the dead from the International Olympics Committee. The IOC faced criticism for refusing to hold a moment of silence for the Israeli victims during the opening of the 2012 London Games, 40 years after the attack. 19-year-old Avishag Semberg won the bronze in the women's 49-kilogram category of Taekwondo yesterday, netting Israel its first medal at the Tokyo Games on the first full day of the Olympics, Israel's 10th medal in Olympic history and its first ever in the field of Taekwondo. Semberg defeated Turkey's Rukia Yildirim 27-22. And meanwhile, Algerian judoka Fethi Nourin and his coach Amar Benhigef have their Olympic accreditation withdrawn yesterday and will be sent home after refusing to fight an Israeli athlete. This is Peter Jones-Pelach reporting for SBS Radio from Jerusalem.
עקבו אחרינו והפיצו אותנו דרך דף הפייסבוק שלנו.